The word of God given to us today is chapter 13 of Acts from verse 26 to 31. It's page 210 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Amen.
본문 26절은 2000년 전에 이 땅에 오셨던 주님을 가르쳐서 구원의 말씀이라고 소개하고 있습니다.
Verse 26 of today's text testifies that the Lord who came to this earth 2,000 years ago is the message of salvation. In order to save men from sin and death, God sent his word to his earth. God's word taking on the body of a man, and that person was Jesus of Nazareth. But the Jewish leaders who worry that their religious power will shrink away because of Jesus stirred up the people and pressured Pilate to put Jesus to death. Governor Pilate, who worried that there might be an insurrection, although he knew that Jesus was innocent, sentenced Jesus to death by the cross. But on the third day after he was nailed to the cross, God raised up the Lord from the state of being the dead body. And the mysterious providence of God that would save men from the fetters of sin and death by making his only son an offering for sin became fulfilled. Let's take a look at today's text, verse 30. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. The resurrected Lord showed to his disciples his resurrected body, resurrected self for many days. And the disciples who saw him with their own eyes became the witnesses of the resurrection. What the Lord, who is the Word, ultimately showed us through his death and resurrection was that the Word of God will never die, no matter what unrighteousness, evil, or violence is used. The Word of God, even in the middle of death, will work as a power that overcomes even death. As I've said in the past hour, it is because of the special wavelength that God's Word have. The Word of God will penetrate through all kinds of evil of this world, unrighteousness of this world, and even death, but not penetrate, but turn death itself into life. It is the wavelength of eternal life, love and righteousness, that can do that. Therefore, it was said that the disciples becoming the witnesses of the resurrected Lord meant that they came to have that wavelength. They weren't educated, they didn't have much, just poor people. But their sounds weren't buried in the noise of this world, and to the contrary, were able to renew the world because there were true Christians who had the wavelength of eternal life, love, and righteousness that was differentiated from the world. Therefore, during the last hour, we thought about what it really means in concrete terms to live as the witnesses of Jesus Christ. No matter how the unrighteousness and evil of this world thrive and bother us, we have to get away from the temptation to punish evil with evil, unrighteousness of this world with unrighteousness, and keep ourselves with God's word only, and prove that we are Christians through God's word only, and protect our thoughts with God's word, and defend God's providence towards us with God's word. We do this so that we also can live within the wavelength that is in God's word. Like the sound of a singing of a vocalist that rises over the great orchestra to fill the entire concert hall, like the sound of pansori of a Korean traditional singer penetrates through the sound of the waterfall to be heard. No matter how insignificant and small we may be, the wavelength that spreads through our lives will penetrate through all the noises, busyness, and commotions of this world, fill this world, and regenerate this world. Because that wavelength is the wavelength of God that breaks all unrighteousness, violence, and even death, that will even turn death into life. Let us take a look at verse 31 of today's text. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. As I've said before, the resurrected Lord showed his resurrected self for many days to his disciples. According to verse 3 of chapter 1 of Acts, the resurrected Lord, before he ascended to heaven, spent 40 days with his disciples. What we want to focus on today is, in what kind of form he appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. About the first time that Jesus showed his resurrected self, John chapter 20, verse 19 records as follows. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." On the third day after Jesus died on the cross, that evening, in other words, that was the evening of Jesus' resurrection. Early that morning, Jesus had already risen, overcoming death, but Jesus' disciples still could not believe in Jesus' resurrection. They were scared that the Jews who had put Jesus to death would also come after them and harm them, and they hid themselves in a place called Mark's upper room and closed the door. Our word, tadatta, or closed, in Greek, the verb kleo, it does not simply mean closing, but in English it means to lock, to lock the door from inside. So they had locked all the doors in the room that they were in because they were afraid. And there was no one among them who had opened the door. But even so, the Lord suddenly appeared among the disciples, and he showed them his hands and his sides that still has the wounds of the nails and spears in them. And the disciples who confirmed that body of resurrected Jesus were, of course, very, very happy. Who met Jesus again were very happy. But among the disciples, Thomas was not there. Thomas, who had heard the news of Lord's resurrection from other disciples, refused to believe until he had touched the wounds of the nail and the spear of Jesus' body with his own hands. After 8 days, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared again among the disciples. It was to allow Thomas, who couldn't believe in his resurrection, to confirm him living again. Let's take a look at verse 26 of John chapter 20. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Here, the verb locked is the Greek word kleo mentioned before. That day also, the disciples had all locked the doors from inside. Jesus did not knock on the door from outside. And it wasn't the case that someone had noticed somebody was standing outside the door and had opened the door for him. But even so, in the same way as 8 days ago, Jesus suddenly appeared among them. How could this be possible? Let's say that we lock the doors of this place where we happen to be worshiping from inside, and let's say that no one among us opens a door. In that situation, if someone were to suddenly appear in the middle of us from outside, what should that person have to do? That person must be able to transcend time and space. On September 1st, 2006, before the first construction began for this building, let's say that someone goes back 4 years and 8 months in time and stands on that empty lot. And if that person travels in time to come back to today, April 25th, 2010, at this hour, then even if no one opens the door for him, he would be able to suddenly appear in the middle of us. Now, there is nobody who can do this. Every person in this world is under the law of time and space. But Jesus, both times, appeared to the disciples that way, because the resurrected Lord is someone who transcends time and space. Now, the resurrected Lord could have come to the upper room where the disciples were hiding, knocked, and discovering that doors were locked, could have knocked on the door. The disciples, fearing that maybe the Jewish leaders had come to arrest them, would have been very fearful of the knocking sound and would have cracked open the door. I saw that it was Jesus, and would have yelled with joy and be reunited with him dramatically. But Jesus did not meet them by using such a method. Jesus, in both times, chose to appear among them by transcending time and space. This was to allow the disciples to clearly realize Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is God who transcends time and space. So the resurrected Lord from the beginning showed himself as someone who transcends time and space to the disciples, and the disciples became the witnesses of the Lord who transcends time and space. By meeting the resurrected Lord, The disciples came to have faith that transcends time and space. This makes us realize a very important fact. It is that without the faith that transcends time and space, it is not possible to live as the witnesses of the resurrected Jesus. Then, what does it exactly mean to have faith that transcends time and space? This past Thursday, the speaker for the Thursday lecture series was Professor An Cheol-su of KAIST. In his lecture titled, To the People Who Live in the Age of Convergence, he asked that we look at the world with two eyes. As an example, he talked about the iPhone made by Apple. The management of well-known Korean electronics companies believe that if they make handphone hardware with outstanding features, they can win over iPhone. But he said that was to look at the reality, to judge the reality with just one eye, and it is a shortcut to failure. The reason that Apple's iPhone is attracting sensational popularity all over the world is not because of its outstanding hardware features, but because of software that is being developed by countless talented people and businesses that can be used by that hardware. Therefore, unless one can see iPhone's hardware with one eye and its software with the other eye and see them both with two eyes, see the reality with those two eyes, he confidently claimed that there is no way to surpass iPhone. It is very true. And that is not something that applies only to iPhone. The world we're living in is not a flat plane without distance or bumps and holes. There are things that are close to us and far from us. There are things that stick out and things that are caved in. There are big things and there are small things. In one word, this world is made up in three dimensions. Therefore, when God created us, gave us two eyes. With one eye, there is no way to see this three-dimensional world correctly. So, as persons who are given two eyes by God, we are to be able to judge not only the three-dimensional world correctly, but we should be able to see things that are behind what we are able to see. For example, if the night comes, we should be able to see the morning coming. When the summer comes, we should be able to prepare for winter. And in a smiling face, we should be able to see the sadness that may be behind it. And in stillness, be able to see the whirling storm that is coming. So in this way, it is only when we are able to see with two eyes that we can see the world correctly. It is only in living that way that we can live our lives as mature characters. So if we need two eyes to live in this world that we can see, it would be all the more so for the world of faith, the spiritual world. When the Israel people, liberated from 400 years of slavery from Egypt, arrived at the Red Sea, the Egyptian pharaoh, who suddenly had a change of heart, came after them with all of his army and his chariots. In front of them, the Red Sea blocked them. Behind them was the entire Egyptian army that boasted unmatched power. And the Israelites were trapped like a mouse in a jar. Israel people fell into despair and were sickened with fear and blamed God and blamed their leader Moses. But Moses, under exactly the same circumstances, weren't fearful and weren't shaken at all. On the contrary, under the same circumstances, Moses cried out to his people as follows. Words from Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Although Israel people claimed to believe in God, the reason that they blamed God and they became fearful was because they had only one eye for the Red Sea that blocked their path and the Egyptian army that were coming after them. The reason that Moses, under exactly the same circumstances, was able to be unshaken was because he had another eye that looked on God who was working in that situation, transcending time and space. Now, Psalm 23 is that famous psalm that was made by David. In verse 4 of Psalm 23, he confesses as follows, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now David lived his entire life amidst a battlefield filled with death. He lived through the threat of death from King Saul, who envied him, coup d'etat by his own son Absalom, who aimed for his throne. He had to pass through countless valleys of shadow of death. But the reason that he was not shaken was because, in addition to the eye that looked at the shadow of valley of death before him, he had another eye that looked upon the Lord who worked for him in midst of that valley of the shadow of death. Apostle Paul, who gave the sermon of today's text at the Jewish synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, confessed as follows in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." The reason that Apostle Paul was able to throw away things of this world that were once his pride without any misgiving, like human waste, that he was able to go over the rough mountains of Mount Taurus, risking his life to get to Pisidian Antioch, was because he too had the other eye, the eye of faith that looked upon eternity. Eternity is a concept that transcends time and space. Paul, in addition to the eye that looks upon this finite world that will one day disappear, had another eye of faith that looked upon the eternal God who works in eternity, transcending time and space. When Paul had the eye to look upon the eternal Lord who works in eternity, nothing in this world could become a purpose for him. And if it were for the eternal Lord, Paul was able to gladly even endure beheading. It was due to Paul, who had the eyes to see, understand, and to confirm that the way to go beyond this graveyard and live eternally in the eternal Lord is to, who had the eyes to see and understand that that was the way to go beyond the graveyard and live eternally in the eternal Lord. If that is the case, we can know that to have a faith that that transcends time and space means we should live with two eyes. As we saw in the case of Apostle Paul, all of the heroes of faith who appear in the Bible were people who lived the world with two eyes. To have two eyes means, to put it in different words, means to have two different visions, a multivision. Having one vision of reality given to me, and the other vision of the future that the Lord will give and which is coming towards me. Once we have this multi-vision, then no matter how bleak a reality that may be given to me, we are able to, I am able to overcome and endure that reality, knowing that it is a process to a new future, a necessary process to a new future that God wants to give me. When Moses had this two eyes of faith, this multivision, the Red Sea that blocked his path, and while the Egyptian armies were coming after him, was but a starting point of victory to the land of Canaan that God promised him. When David had this two eyes of faith, this multivision, he was able to see that even if the valleys of shadows of death were repeated again and again, that was but a gate to the green grass and the still waters that God had prepared for him. When Apostle Paul lived with the two eyes, the multivision, he was willingly able to endure even death by beheading because he understood through the multivision, not only see but understand through the multivision that that was the way to the eternal life. Jesus, when he was on this earth, revealed to his disciples that although he would die on the cross, he would on the third day would live again. The Lord had one eye to see the reality of death on the cross, and the other eye that was able to behold the glory of resurrection that would come at the end of his death, a multivision. The disciples who hid themselves in Mark's upper room, unable to believe in Jesus' resurrection, although he had already lived again, became the witnesses of the resurrection, although they were burned at the stake, were fed to wild animals, because they became so by meeting Jesus, who lived again and transcended time and space. And came to have two eyes, one eyes to see their reality and the other eyes to see the Lord who works even in that reality. As we mentioned in the Mature Believers class, the central character of the Book of Ruth was this woman named Ruth. What she did was take care of her mother-in-law after losing her husband and remarried at her urging and gave birth to Obed. Now, this is not something that is extraordinary. A lot of women in the world can do this. But the Book of Ruth, ends by revealing that the grandson of Obed would be David who would renew the history of Israel. Now what can be seen before our eyes is just this newly born baby Obed, but the Bible shows us this baby's grandson, David, who is not even born at the same time. What is the meaning, what is the reason for this? It tells us to have not just one eye that looks only at the newly born baby in front of us, but the other eye that sees that David will renew the history of Israel has also been born, a multivision perspective, even by a housewife taking care of a household. A history of a nation can be renewed. No matter how bleak a reality may be, a new future is dawning for certain. The reason that we are able to have the eyes of faith that can see these things is possible when we come to have a multivision. The Lord we believe in is the Lord who lived again, overcoming death. The resurrected Lord is God who transcends time and space. If we really believe in this, then we should come to have eye that see both the world and the Lord at the same time. Let us live with this multivision perspective, regardless of what reality we may be faced with. Let us become the witnesses of the Word who live in pursuit of the Lord's Word. Even though a housewife who cares for her home, even through a housewife who cares for her home, the history of our nation can be renewed. And no matter what despair we may be in, bright future will come without fail, because the Lord we believe in is God who works in eternity, transcending time and space. Let us pray. Dear Lord, through today's text, thank you for making me realize that I have been living foolishly, living with just one eye for the world. You have clearly given us two eyes, but by living with just one eye, although I have professed to believe in you, I have lived in fear, insecurity, worry, skepticism, and despair regarding the reality given to me. Please forgive me. Help me now to live as a person given the gift of two eyes. The Lord I believe in is the Lord of resurrection who overcame death. And the Lord of resurrection is God who transcends time and space. So help me to live with two eyes, one eye that look at the given reality and the other that at the same time that looks upon God who works in the reality transcending time and space. Even through my insignificant life and my small works, the future of our people and the world can be renewed. And the new future is coming towards me even in despair that is pitch black. Help me to have the multivision that sees this, knows this, and confirms this, thereby, like Moses, David, and all the apostles, let all of us, regardless of circumstances, live only in pursuit of the Lord's word and become the witnesses of the Lord for this age. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who works for us in eternity without an inch of error, transcending time and space. Amen.